Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Our special guests on the show include Travis Brown, UFC heavyweight, who will be taking on Brendan, the Big Brown Schaub, on Saturday night as part of this spectacular card, UFC 181, going down in Las Vegas. Two title fights as Gilbert Melendez will try and win that UFC title versus current champion Anthony Pettis, who's coming off a long layoff. We'll get to that a little bit later on with John Morgan, who will join us to talk about that card and much more from the world of mixed martial arts. That card also features a main event, I guess a second main event if you want to talk about it, but a welterweight title fight as Johnny Hendricks tries to defend that title for the very first time against ruthless Robbie Lawler in an epic rematch. If that fight is anywhere near their first fight, oh man, we are going to be on the edges of our seat on Saturday night. Don't forget iTunes. If you want to hear the show, you want to miss, or if you missed a few episodes or a few broadcasts of UFC Central, make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe. You'll never miss another episode, of course. And thank you to 40 Sons, who provided the anthem for UFC Central. The track is called Hurricane. Once again, iTunes, check it out. Doesn't cost much money. Buy the song. Give them some love. Give them some support. They support us. They support MMA. So it's a good thing. I'll also tackle your questions a little bit later on. I know usually on Wednesdays and Thursdays, I'll post some, if you have an MMA-related question via my social media, I will do the best I can to address them. So I will get to some of them a little bit later on. But we got to get down to business right now. Travis Brown is on the line. He's, I believe he's in Las Vegas. Mr. Brown, how are you today?
Good, man. Good. Just, another day in paradise. While it's raining.
Well, it's raining in Vegas?
Yeah, man. It's not Vegas right now, bro. It's somewhere else. We're in like Seattle or something, I swear.
That's completely different. I don't think of all the times I've been to Vegas that it's ever rained, but I could just imagine being in that desert. It'd probably be in and out, don't you think?
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. It's not, like I said, it's not the same at all.
All right, let me ask you a quick question before we get to Brendan Schaub on Saturday night. When I was watching Fabrizio Verdum taking on Mark Hunt, and then Fabrizio, you know, he wins that title, I thought to myself, I wonder what's going through Travis's mind right now, because I remember when I spoke to Travis in Sacramento and then we had you on the radio show, I thought to myself, Travis, you know, he's bitter about that loss of Fabrizio and he knows he can beat him, but when you see Fabrizio with that title, is that more motivation for you right now to get up there and get that title shot?
He has the interim belt, and that's not what I'm after. I'm after the undisputed heavyweight belt, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Verdum because he's done a great job and he's made it to that point. And he's the interim heavyweight champ, which is great. It's a great, great step for anybody's career. But I'm going after the undisputed title, undisputed belt, and that's my goal.
Absolutely.
And yes, I feel like I'm very close to getting there.
And that starts on Saturday night again with Brendan Schaub, the hybrid. What do you think he's going to bring to the table on Saturday night? Or does it even bother you? You just got to worry about what you bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm not a guy that really like sits down and evaluates tape and all this kind of stuff. I'm not somebody that gets obsessive over that. I might watch it once or twice just to see a guy's rhythm or see if I can exploit anything, but I'm someone that really goes in there and just fights to my game plan and I react to what they do. I don't count on what they're gonna do because people change in this sport.
And you're one guy that's gone through so many different obstacles. You've had to overcome so many hurdles, and you've basically evolved in the sport, now training with the likes of Ricky Lundell, Edmund Tarvidian. I mean, I love Ricky Lundell's Instagram. He's posting some of these awesome pictures with you, Edmund, or Coach Edmund, and, of course, Frank Mir. Talk about Ricky Lundell and how he's helped you prepare for this fight and just overall as a mixed martial artist.
He's a wizard. He's a magician on the ground, and that guy... the way he teaches, the way he coaches, and what he has you do is just like you feel like dumbfounded because he simplifies the sport so well, and it's you know, it's like I'm amazed every time I get on the mat with that guy.
Well, the one thing people tell me about Ricky all the time is they ask, have I ever rolled with him? And I'm like, no, I've never had the chance. And they stop dead in their tracks. And they're like, Joe, you need to roll with Ricky Lundell because it's something completely different. And I look at a guy like him, and he's so small compared to you guys. And it must drive you guys nuts trying to roll with the small guy. You just want to punch him at times.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, I haven't given him that opportunity to make me feel like that. usually we have... Usually we have Coach Neil Balance in there, and that's like my body, because Neil's a huge, you know, huge guy, and that's those are the kind of guys I go against, you know. But so what will happen is Ricky will be there to coach while I'm going with Neil. So I haven't yet been in that situation, but I look forward to the day.
Now, for those that don't know, Neil Melanson's an absolute monster. The guy just knows more about triangle chokes than you can possibly imagine. And the one thing you told me in Sacramento is the nuances that he's able to teach just makes things almost feel effortless. But then you roll with the guy, and it's got to be something very difficult. But you're in the UFC. He's not. It's a different sort of mentality. What's it like rolling with Neil?
Like you said, you know, it's... you know, he's a true grappler, and he'd have been a good fighter, I believe. You know, if it wasn't for some things that he had to go through in his younger years. But you know, it's something that you know, rolling with him is intimidating every time I get on the mat. You know, the guy's a beast. For his on his light days. On his girly days, he's 270. On his mannish days, he's like 280, 290. So, you know, he's a monster, man.
What about Coach Edmund? Because we've seen what he's done with the likes of Ronda Rousey. He did really good with Jake Ellenberger, but at the same time, the way he's taken Ronda Rousey, a judo Olympian, and be able to turn her hands around into striking, I could just imagine what he's done with you in terms of A, footwork, B, using that jab accordingly, the hooks, and all that stuff there. What's it like working with Coach Edmund?
It's been a blessing. It's been a huge blessing working with him. You know, I think him and I are a great fit. Not only just in the skill set wise, but mentality as well. You know, he's you know, out to coach you, and he's gonna make you do it right. And you know, there's no way that if you're one of his athletes that you do not believe in him. You know, he speaks from the heart, and he's so passionate about it. There's no way to get around that.
He tells me it's the Armenian bloodline. He doesn't take any BS from anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a UFC heavyweight or a UFC female bantamweight. This is how it's going to be done, and this is why it's going to be done. And but he makes it fun, but he does make it hard work. Is that fact?
No, it's hard work. It's definitely hard work. But yes, it's you know, he doesn't care who the hell you are. Like you said, you could be the heavyweight champion. You can be, you know, the bantamweight champion. If you're doing it wrong, he's going to tell you. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about him, because you know where you stand with the guy. And, you know, he's one of those guys where he's not a man of many words. He's a man of very few words. And, you know, if he's taking the time to talk to you and correct you, then he likes you. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, you know, he's a very respectful guy. And he demands that out of his athletes.
In conversation right now on UFC Central with Travis Brown, UFC heavyweight taking on Brendan the Hybrid Schaub this Saturday in Las Vegas. What's your perfect fight versus Brendan Schaub? Do you want that finish? I mean, that's probably an obvious question, but do you want that finish, or do you want to be able to showcase some new skills and maybe take it a little bit later on in the fight?
Yeah, I'd love to showcase some new skills. But if I showcase my new skills, that means it's going to be a short night for Brendan Schaub. So, you know, my idea is coming out. It'll be short and sweet, to the point, like most of my fights.
Reebok deal. The UFC signs a new Reebok deal. A new sponsorship will be unveiled in the spring of 2015. Gets underway in the Octagon likely in July of 2015. What's your take on the Reebok deal?
You know, it's my nature to trust those that have been taking care of me, you know, and the UFC has done nothing but take care of me, And so if they say that this is something that is going to be good for the fighters, then you can't help but trust them. You know, they're the ones that built the sport. They're the ones that are able to, you know, put on these shows and pay us what they pay us. And, you know, I think personally it's a good idea if these guys want to get paid more and get more mainstream. You know, you don't see basketball players running out there with patches on their jerseys and shorts and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's another step to legitimizing the sport and like completely and making it more mainstream. You know, now it just comes into, you know, if it makes sense, you know, with the amount that fighters are going to get paid. So, and nobody knows that, you know, everybody's may have has their opinion, but nobody knows what the breakdown is going to be. So, you know, we'll just say, we'll see. We'll all sit and wait and see how it goes. So.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, in terms of those listening wondering why I'm calling Brendan Schaub the hybrid, it just rolls off my tongue. I know it's Big Brown. I understand that, but I'm calling him the hybrid because that's what rolls off my tongue. Before we let you go, Travis, two things that come to mind are your sons.
You're a smart man. You're a smart man for not calling Big Brown because there's only one Big Brown in this sport, and you're talking to him.
I kind of figured that. Before we let you go, I'm always thinking of your two sons. You and I are both dads, and we're always comparing stories. What's in store for the boys over the holidays once you're done scrapping on Saturday? What are you going to do with them?
We have this big, there's going to be a big event in Phoenix that we're going to go to. My best friend, my brother, Josh Barton, he has family out there, and so there's this big Christmas thing that goes on out there. I'm not sure. I think it's like a parade / you know, like a Frozen event kind of a thing, and they have it every year. So I think we're taking the boys to that around the 18th, and then other than that, I'm coaching their basketball team. So, you know, we'll be busy on the hardwood floors and getting the next generation of NBA player out there.
Nice. Well, as you know, the door is always open in my place. I got the ice rink in the backyard if they want to go skating, and we can go ice fishing. So that invitation's always there, my man.
Hey, we'll go fishing. I don't know about that ice skating stuff. We're Hawaiian, bro. I don't know about that ice skating. We'll get out there and ice fish, you know, just because, you know, I'm an outdoorsman. But, you know, that ice skating stuff, I don't know about that.
Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck on Saturday night.
All right, Chef. I want to talk to you.
There you have it. Travis Brown taking on Brendan Schaub Saturday night. Like I said, a spectacular card. I cannot wait for this to go down. I really wish I was in Las Vegas. We'll cover more of that card a little bit later on when John Morgan from MMA Junkie joins us on the line. He is in Las Vegas, based out of Las Vegas, actually. I will get his thoughts to see if he's able to, if he's had a chance to speak with anyone. I don't have a copy of the UFC PR schedule, but Wednesdays and Thursdays, generally Thursdays, are the day that we get a chance to talk to some of the fighters, managers, and they're made available to us to get the various interviews done. So we'll see if John has had a chance to do it, but due to the time difference in terms of where John is and where we're at here on the East Coast, he's on the West Coast, we'll see what's up. I did promise I would answer some of your questions. I will go through some of my social media right now to see what's out there, and hopefully none of you guys have dropped some curse words and I don't accidentally read them on the air, but as always, follow me online at Showdown Joe. It's for all my social media, whether it is Instagram, whether it is Facebook or Twitter. So at Showdown Joe, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Let's start off here with Rubble70, who asks, wondering, is there an MMA-related give-back type thing in any organization? Fighters/corners go to hospitals, etc. I've seen it individually, but as an organization, haven't really seen it, heard of it. It may be out of the loop. Thank you, Joe. Have a great show. And namaste. Hashtag Mike on. Yes, sir. The UFC does it all the time. I know Bellator's done it a few times. A lot of the fighters do. You know, if you look at Chris Weidman's Instagram recently, and Frankie Edgar, they go do their hospital visits all the time, especially with sick kids. The UFC has community works programs pretty much in every city that they go to. Every city they have an event in, from Las Vegas to anywhere in Canada and around the world, they do the best they can to work with local community organizations to make sure they do give back. So yes, at Rebel 70, definitely something that gets done by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I know Bellator does it as well. I'm not too sure about ONE FC and MFC and other organizations, but yes, A lot of the MMA promotions do give back to the fans and to those that are less fortunate, especially at this time of the year for sure. This is going to be a tough name. DMART15_John Liu asks, Showdown Joe, ask why Ben Askren talks so much trash but yet decides to fight in a minor league. Listen, Ben Askren is an interesting case. Oh, he also puts here, he's just too much to handle on Twitter. Someone needs to get him on the in the UFC so we can see what he really has. Listen, that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. I don't know what Ben Askren's full deal is. I think he's just taking a stance. He disagrees with how Dana White does business. He's happy doing what he has to do. I mean, for the most part, the majority of people are always saying, look, if you want to be the best or be considered the best, you have to fight the best. And it's, an, you know, you look at the top 15 in the world of mixed martial arts at 170 pounds, the vast majority, if not the majority, are in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So me personally, I would love to see Ben Askren in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, but he's got this little thing going on where I guess he's getting paid good money from ONE FC and was getting paid pretty good from Bellator, I'm assuming, and he's happy doing what he has to do. But, you know, he is vocal. He says what he says. And, you know, everyone has a right to their opinions. Freedom of speech. He can say what he wants. But a guy like me would love to see Ben Askren in the Ultimate Fighting Championship just to see how he matches up with some of the guys in the UFC, because it'd be great to see. Can you imagine he goes on a run and becomes world champion? Now, I hear people, I can already hear it in the background, people saying, oh, that would be absolutely horrible. He's such a boring fighter and blah, 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 blah. Look, Ben Askren's got skills. Whether you like it or not, wrestling is a part of mixed martial arts. If you can't get up, if you can't prevent the takedown, too bad. It's MMA. Get out of there. Josh, or at Josh Donhauer, I hope I said that correctly, asks, will it take Bellator signing Brock Lesnar for the UFC to take them seriously? Look, in my opinion, whether Dana White says it or not, behind the scenes and, you know, on camera, in front of a microphone, I believe they do take Bellator seriously, even though he does mock them and says, look, they've got Viacom money, they've got billions of dollars that they can work on. Scott Coker is at Bellator right now. And people could say what they want about Scott Coker as much as they want. I'm a firm believer in the majority of Scott Coker's track record. This guy's no joke. He's already made some serious changes to Bellator. He's gotten rid of the tournament format. He's having less shows. People will take notice of Bellator, in my opinion. The only issue is the branding. It's going to take a while if they ever want to get close to the UFC, which, you know, to be honest with you, I don't think they will be able to at this point because the UFC is so far ahead of the curve than anybody. I mean, looking in the rearview mirror, it's going to be difficult for anyone to catch up, but there's always people that aren't happy with the Ultimate Fighting Championship, so they will use Bellator as an outlet. But if I was to walk around the streets of my neighborhood or in the big city of Toronto or anywhere else, and I start asking people about Bellator and or the UFC, you know what their answer is going to be. They're always going to talk about UFC right now. Scott Coker, right as we move forward, he's the one trying to change all this. At Jin_Kim asks, if Kung gets out of his contract, there's talk to go that he'll go see his bud Scott Coker, but wouldn't he be massive in ONE FC? Yes, I think Kung Lee would do fantastic competing for ONE FC, but I think he'll likely retire. And if anything, if he's going to be released, for those that don't know, Kung Lee did ask for his release from the Ultimate Fighting Championship based on what happened with that whole drug test fiasco. He was positive. He wasn't positive. He didn't believe the UFC supported him. They should have had his back. He believes Scott Coker would have had his back. So if Kung Lee goes anywhere, I think he goes to Bellator. That or he hangs up his gloves because he's not 25 anymore. He is up there in age. JiveTurkey1986, so I guess at JiveTurkey1986, asks me, do you think the new Reebok deal with the UFC will help resurrect the Reebok pumps? It's the GOAT sports shoe, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't know much about that. Who knows? Could happen. But I think, you know what I think might happen? I think with the research that Reebok will be doing, don't be surprised if they come out with a striking-specific shoe that you can use in the gym and or for wrestling and or for MMA or striking. A specific Reebok UFC shoe. Don't be surprised if they do that. At Hayabusa Harris, my boy Luke asks, what do fighters outside current champions think of the new UFC uniform deal? Luke, the ones that I've spoken to basically have no issues with it. They just want to get paid. They want to see how much money they're going to get. And I talk to guys who are ranked, and I've talked to champions. And, you know, of course the champions are going to say what they say, but you heard what Travis Brown said. He believes in the UFC. We'll see what happens. I mean, not many people are giving up a lot of information on what that tier structure is going to be. If people saw my article on sportsnet.ca, I do talk about the tier system that is ongoing right now for who's going to get paid under this Reebok banner. At Adam Conklin MMA, why is MMA news devolving into clickbait and making fighter news into celebrity gossip? It's the name of the game, man. You look at some of these websites out there, and you know, it's headlines. There's people specifically that work for websites online that are strictly headline makers. They take an article or piece that happens to me. They will change the headline that I suggest into something that they believe will drive traffic. That's the name of the game. You got to get traffic to your website. So I understand what's going on here. And to be honest with you, the hardcore market isn't as big as people think. People will click on something that gets them emotionally invested. And it's not the right thing, but it is what it is. At Jasta28, sorry if this has been answered, but is Aldo versus Edgar next, or are they going to wait for the McGregor fight? I believe they're going to wait for the McGregor fight. If Conor wins, don't be surprised if he does get that title shot. At Potzilla A421, Frankie Edgar versus Notorious MMA, why isn't it happening? Well, that's because Frankie Edgar just fought Jose Aldo, and Notorious Conor McGregor is taking on Dennis Seaver, so we'll see what happens after that fight. Maybe the UFC will put on a number one contender fight, who knows, but yes, it does remain to be seen. Let's see here, what's going on here on my Facebook? Facebook always has something interesting here. Facebook, we have Otto Cecil, gave me something last week. Otto Cecil would like to know. What do we have here? I see what he's trying to say. Who would you put as the best title holder of 2014? I'm going ahead and saying Ronda Rousey. The way she has fought and defended her title in dominant style is amazing. Looking forward to 2015. Otto, I think you're bang on. I think Ronda Rousey has had an exceptional 2014. I would say, TJ Dillashaw, but that rematch with Hayden Burrell didn't take place. He defends his title against Joe Soto. But, you know, it is what it is. Chris Smith asks, what was the biggest sleeper card for the what was the biggest sleeper card of the card that turned out great? Not sure I understand that question, but I don't think I understand that question. Sleeper card. I don't know. I'll have to look into that a little later on. So sorry, Chris. I wasn't expecting that one. Kelly Fletcher asked. Kelly Fletcher was on the show last week as well. She asked, what's your opinion, I'm assuming, on the caliber of women on Tough? I think they're the best 115-pounders in the world. I mean, you saw Carla Esparza yesterday. She did a fantastic job. You saw Rose Namajunas. I mean, we still got to see Randa Marcos. I think the ladies on Tough are fantastic. Yet, we haven't seen Claudia Gadella compete on Tough because she's already competed in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw... Her name is slipping my mind. Had her on the show last week. It'll come up to me momentarily, but the talent level on Tough this year, or this season, is absolutely Paige Van Zandt. That's who it is. Paige Van Zandt, she's still young. She's absolutely fantastic. A bundle of energy, to say the least. I think the level on Tough right now is absolutely fantastic. Let's go back to my Twitter. At 44GSP44 asks, fallout from Saturday's main event. Is the winner fighting Rory set in stone for Montreal? Is it possible for TO or Calgary to host? First things first, nothing is set in stone. That's a fact in mixed martial arts. We got to see what happens with this fight with Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler. What if it's a razor-tight decision, a split decision that the UFC or the fans believe went the wrong way? You could see a trilogy bout. What if Robbie Lawler wins it in by the slimmest of fashions? Will the UFC give Johnny Hendricks a rematch? We just don't know. What we do know is if it happens the way it's supposed to happen, there's a clear cut winner. Rory McDonald will get the next title shot. The talk is Montreal in March. I won't be surprised if that happens. At Potzilla 421, at Potzilla 421, Showdown Joe. Will Nick Diaz at Nick Diaz 209 versus at Spiderson Hannison be the biggest needle mover in UFC history? No. UFC 100, I believe, was. Anything Brock Lesnar or George St. Pierre related is the biggest needle mover of all time. And I'll tell you one thing. If George St. Pierre or Brock... I think that will Brock Lesnar, but if George St. Pierre does come back, that will be the biggest needle mover, in my opinion, in UFC history. TI_M Cook, what network is going to cover UFC for us Canadian fans next year, Joe? Great question. I'm assuming it's Sportsnet. That's who I work for, and that's the most I could say about that. At Exit 266, believes just on principle she would not release Kung Lee. If you cheat, you face your punishment, plain and simple. That's the thing, though. We don't know factually if he's cheated based on what happened with the actual, the results from the testing and how it was sort of all messed up. I don't know how much time I have left here, if I can keep going, but I may have to just wrap this up. All your questions, I'll be able to address them hopefully later on with John Morgan. If not, we will figure something out later this week. But I got to go to break. Coming up after the break, John Morgan joins us from Las Vegas to talk about UFC 181 and all things mixed martial arts. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. And on the line with us right now, we are not going to waste any time, John Morgan from MMA Junkie and USA Today. Mr. Morgan, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish I was in Vegas, though, covering UFC 181, but it is what it is. But that's what you're down there for. So what's the mood like down there? It's the final big show for the year for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Is there a buzz going on?
I think there is a little bit of a buzz, man. You know, it's funny. I mean, everybody talks about the schedule saturation, and, you know, you don't get an extended, month of out buzz here in Las Vegas when fights like this happen. But, as the fights get near, people start to key in a little bit more, and I think people are pumped about this card. I mean, two title fights, you got to love the two championship fights on this card, and really just a good-looking card from top to bottom. So, yeah, you're starting to feel it a little bit.
Now, I had Travis Brown on the show a little bit earlier, and of course, he ripped me because I invited him over again to do some ice skating with the kids, and he's like, I'm Hawaiian. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk to John Morgan. Morgan, if the door is open for you, would you come to my place to do some ice skating? We'll do some ice fishing, although you're a Vegas-bred dude.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I have tried ice skating, and I don't know how in the hell you guys do that, man, and especially play hockey on it. Good God, man. I have a hard time just standing up. I would love to see Travis Brown on a pair of ice skates, though. You can get him out there, I'm definitely down.
Well, Travis will not come up unless we're actually going fishing, but we'll see what's up with that. Now, he's taking on Brendan Schaub. I like this fight for Travis because Brendan Schaub does bring and pose a lot of threats. I just think Travis right now is on a different level as to where Brendan is. How do you break down this fight?
I completely agree with you there. I mean, this was kind of an odd piece of matchmaking, I thought. It didn't seem like one that was natural to come together. I don't mean that as any kind of a big knock on Brendan Schaub. I mean, certainly he's had some moments of success in his career. He's certainly capable of pulling a victory. I mean, he's definitely a well-rounded fighter, and he's somebody that has shown promise throughout his career. But I do think that right now, Travis Brown is just on a different trajectory. And I really do think that Travis Brown is one of the elite fighters in the division. Whether or not he'll ever be able to secure a UFC heavyweight title, I don't know. The wrestling is a little bit tough, and he definitely looks flat. Back in April against Fabrizio Verdun. I mean, that was just definitely not Travis Brown at his best. But, he's making some changes, obviously. And I love talking to Travis Brown, man. He's just such an open individual, so honest, and really kind of lets you, peek behind the scenes a little bit, behind the curtain, and let you know what's going on in his mind and what he's thinking. And I just think he's on a different level right now. I think this is a tough fight for Brendan Schaub.
What did you make when Travis sort of went from Coach Jackson and Winklejohn over to California and working with Edmund and the likes of Ricky Lundell and Neil Melanson?
It's an odd decision. I mean, certainly, you look at the Jackson's training camp and you think, man, what are you missing here? I mean, certainly Jackson and Winklejohn are both elite-level coaches. And, they've been known to put together fantastic strategic plans. Your training partners there are incredible. But you know what, man? I think you have to do what works best for you, and I think everybody has to work on finding that. I mean, so much of this game is mental. We've seen that so much over the years that, yes, this is such a physical sport, but the mental side of it is so big as well. And for whatever reason, the situation just doesn't feel right, or you don't feel like you're getting what you need, I encourage people to take a look around and seek out, something a little bit different. What's going to make you feel good? I mean, certainly, there's nothing wrong with getting new direction, learning from as many coaches as you can, really getting new philosophies and getting new styles and tips. I mean, not one person can ever teach you everything. So I don't think there's anything wrong with seeking things out and getting help from other people. But again, if it makes you feel especially comfortable, it makes you feel like you're in a better place, I think that's huge. And I think for Travis Brown, I do think he feels like he needs a little bit of a mental change. And I think he feels like he's got it. Now, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It hasn't always worked for everybody, but We'll see if it pans out.
In conversation right now with John Morgan. He is the lead staff reporter for MMA Junkie. Make sure you follow him online at MMA Junkie John. John, you did a spectacular interview with Bobby Green, I think it was last week. And Bobby, you talk about being in a comfortable place and dealing with things on a mental level. I don't know what to think of Bobby Green right now, despite what happened in that fight with Edson Barboza. What was going through your mind, though, when you were interviewing him? And you know, he went from sort of being guarded to completely opening up to the post-fight conversation. I mean, what's going on with this guy?
It really was an amazing thing. It was such a journey just to watch him kind of open up right in front of my eyes, and I really appreciate him for sharing that. It was tough, man. It really made you wonder if he was in the right place going into that fight, man. You know, certainly anytime somebody mentions retirement, you know, you have to start saying, oh gosh, you know, are they really truly motivated? But at the same time, you know, how many fighters do you talk to that'll admit, you know, behind the scenes, you know, every time they go to the fight, they go, why the hell did I do this for a living? Why am I doing this? I'm never doing this again. So, I mean, you have to take a little bit of that with a grain of salt. But, you know, Bobby Green has been through so much, personally speaking. And, you know, it did seem like he's kind of questioning whether he's doing the right thing or not. And, listen, you know, he thinks he won that fight. I get what he's saying. I mean, I scored the fight for Edson Barboza. I thought it was pretty clear, even though Edson was moving backwards and, you know, Bobby Green was controlling the center of the cage. I just thought Edson was a little bit more accurate with the strikes. You know, he was timing things very well. And I thought it was Edson Barboza's fight. But it was interesting after the fight to hear Bobby Green say again in a follow-up interview that, you know, he just doesn't know if people understand his style. You know, when he's doing these things, like pointing to his shoulder and saying it didn't, you know, didn't hit him, he's not trying to just show off and be cocky and arrogant. Like, he's literally telling you, listen, you know, I'm using this Philly shell style. I'm rolling. I'm bobbing. I'm leaving. And though you may think it connected, that really did hit my shoulder. And he's trying to let fans and judges both know that. And it is funny. I mean, how many times do you say K-Side Joe and, you know, a high kick pops the glove so really doesn't land on anything, but it makes this huge sound and the crowd goes nuts thinking it was like an amazing strike. It's like that didn't even land. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that Bobby Green was a little bit frustrated with. I think he's going to take some time to reflect on where he is. I still think he is a very solid talent. I think the biggest thing is if he would tone down the antics just a little bit and work on being aggressive. I think when he finally just let it go in the third round and just said to hell with it, you know, I'm moving forward and I'm going to go forward with reckless abandon. That was his most successful time. And I think if he'll just, you know, maybe key in on that as he goes forward, I think he will fight again. I don't think he's going to hang it up, and I still think he's got plenty of UFC wins ahead of him.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the exact same thing in terms of just abandoning that, you know, he didn't hit me, that was nothing, and just focus on, you know what, I'm going to hurt this guy, let it go, put him down on the ground, and not fight, you know, the way he was fighting, and do have some reckless abandonment, just like Gilbert Melendez sort of had when he fought against Diego Sanchez. Now, that was a different type of scenario for those that don't know, and I don't know if I should be saying this out loud, but that was a contract fight for Gilbert Melendez, hence the different sort of scrap, no pun intended, El Nino was putting on into the Octagon. Not sure he can do that versus Anthony Pettis, despite Anthony Pettis's long layoff. This guy still proves that, you know what, I'm the best in the world at 155 pounds, and I'm really intrigued, John, to see what Anthony Pettis shows up, because he is a masterful striker. He will submit you in the blink of an eye. Just think of Benson Henderson, and this guy's extremely dangerous, but Gilbert Melendez still believes he's the uncrowned champion. I mean, this co-main event, I can't believe it's a co-main event. I understand why, but this is going to be a fight for the ages.
Yeah, this is a fantastic fight. You know, it's funny. I think they're saying it's basically, instead of a co-main event, it's two main events. I was actually listening to Bruce Buffer's podcast the other day, and he was saying he's thinking about introducing it as the night's first main event. I guess there's some talk behind the scenes to see if they can do that. So you're right. I mean, this is two championship-level fights. This is two amazing main events. But what you're saying is incredibly true. I mean, Anthony Pettis, listen, the guy has been a pleasure to watch since his WC days. I'll never forget. You know, I saw him for the first time in his WC debut in June 2009. Mike Campbell was throwing him around the ring like a rag doll, and then he locked up the triangle choke, and that's what he said. I mean, the Showtime kick, obviously everybody thinks of Anthony Pettis as a striker, and he is a dynamic striker. I mean, what Duke Rufus has done with him is incredible. I mean, he's just so quick, so accurate, and so creative with his striking. You know, he'll throw out some capoeira, you know, throw out some taekwondo, he'll do everything. But good Lord, his jiu-jitsu is incredible. His transitions are so fast. You know, obviously the arm bar that he beat Benson Henderson with to win the title was so incredible. I mean, that's a jiu-jitsu 101 move, but he was so fast and slick with it. And then the submission came so fast, you know, there was that moment of hesitation in the arena where nobody knew what was going on because the fight was over. It was just incredible. But Gilbert Melendez is a tough, tough dude. Obviously, he's going to put constant pressure. He's going to move forward. You know, he's not a member of the scrap pack for nothing. I mean, these dudes will come in and throw down. And Gilbert Melendez is constant pressure. I love that about him. He can push for 25 minutes. So to me, it really does all come down to, is Anthony Pettis back to 100%? And if he is and everything's good to go, then I favor Anthony Pettis. And that's who I actually went on record with on our staff day. So I'm picking Anthony Pettis. I think he is such an incredible athlete. And I don't mean that as any slight at Gilbert Melendez and picking Anthony Pettis, but just the speed, the athleticism that he brings to the table is just a little bit too much. And so, but if there is anything wrong with Anthony Pettis, if he's taking this fight just knowing, listen, I'm not good yet, but it's been so long, I got to fight, the UFC needs me, then this could be Gilbert Melendez's night.
What does Gilbert have to do, though, in terms of finishing off or at least taking 3 of the 5 rounds from Anthony Pettis? Is it just a matter of pressure or is it a matter of letting Anthony sort of get, you know, win those first 2 rounds because you're going to get tired because of the layoff?
You know, that's one way to do it, but I think that's a risky way. I like the pressure instead. You know, instead of saying, hey, let's just take this guy deep water and maybe I'll give away the first 2 and hope he gets tired. I don't think you can bank on that because what I like instead is pressure. Make it a street fight. I think if it's a street fight, it's a Gilbert Melendez fight. You know, if it's a technical striking affair, if it's a Muay Thai fight on the outside, I think that favors Anthony Pettis. I think you really just got to make it a dirty, ugly fight, you know, and really just try to rough up and bully Anthony Pettis. You know, I think, you know, Anthony Pettis is an incredible athlete, and I think Gilbert Melendez is kind of a scrappy fighter. So to me, it's got to be constant forward movement, you know, keep things in tight, and really just try to rough up Anthony Pettis in any way you can, and just make it dirty and hard on him, and then hope that, yeah, I hope that he fades over time, but more than anything, just don't give him time to really set up his offense.
I penned a piece for Sportsnet.ca in terms of Johnny Hendricks and the difficulty he's going to have with defending the title, because winning the title is one thing, successfully defending it for the first time is another. You listen to a guy like Matt Hughes or George St. Pierre, they always talk about that is the most difficult thing to do for a champion, is defend it for the very first time. Now, Johnny Hendricks has been off, he's had the bicep surgery, he, you know, busted up his arm in that fight versus the first fight with Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler has been very, very active, taking out 2 guys in the process, but Johnny Hendricks can go back to his time in the NCAA where he won the title and then came back and won it again. So he has been in this type of position. But to me, I'm kind of concerned for Johnny because you've been off for a little bit. I know you're the best in the world right now, but Robbie Lawler's been active and Robbie Lawler is on a mission right now.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I love this fight. Obviously, it was such a great fight the first time around. I mean, really a fight of the year candidate. You know, when you can look at a fight and the ebbs and flows that were in that fight and to see what Johnny Hendricks did to dig down deep, you know, get that late takedown, which pretty much everybody agrees. The difference in the fight was that late takedown for Johnny Hendricks. So to think of a fight that was that close and to run it back between 2 incredibly powerful strikers, between, you know, 2 guys that fans just love to watch fight, I mean, how can you not be hyped up for this fight? And I think there's really 2 ways of looking at it. I mean, Johnny Hendricks obviously had a little bit of an injury going into that first fight, and obviously it worsened during the course of the fight. So maybe he wasn't fighting at 100%. Because of that, maybe he wasn't able to implement all the things that he's capable of doing. And if that's the case, then really this rematch should favor him a little bit. But then there's the time off. You know, there's the time off. Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Is Robbie Lawler's activity level, is it maybe too much? Did he get too many fights in this year? You know, we talk about guys just, you know, their body going through a little bit too much. They're not at 100%. Is it possible that the layoff was a good thing for Johnny Hendricks? That he was able to heal up, let his body rest. Obviously, he goes through a very tough weight cut to get down to 170. You know, is it a good thing that he's had time to fully recover? So a lot of question marks in this fight as well. I'm leaning towards Johnny Hendricks again, you know, mainly because I do think he was fighting at a little bit less than 100%. And it's not that I really look at anything Robbie Lawler did and say, man, you know, Robbie was flat here. Robbie didn't execute here. I thought Robbie fought an incredible fight, and I don't know what he's capable of doing different. I mean, I thought that was a prime Robbie Lawler, and I think we're going to see very much a similar Robbie Lawler come out this time. And if Johnny Hendricks wasn't exactly at 100% and he is this time around, then I think, you know, he's going to have a few more tools at his disposal. And again, you know, I think Robbie has been very busy this year, and I don't know that that's, sometimes you can be a little too busy when you're at the championship level. So I'm leaning towards Johnny Hendricks, but what you said, Joe, is right on the money, man. Obviously, you know, winning that title is one thing, defending it is something entirely different than you know, is this the start of an era with Johnny Hendricks? I mean, he said, listen, I want to set up my own era, man. I want to set up my own legacy. You know, I don't care if George St. Pierre ever comes back. If he doesn't, you know, I'll beat everybody else in the division, and I'll set my own legacy. You know, is this the start of that, or can we see Robbie Lawler win a title? Which, just think how impossible that seems just a few years ago, but this man has been incredible in his resurgence.
And to think that is going to cap off an exceptional night in Las Vegas on Saturday night. I cannot wait for this card to go down. Earlier this week, though, the Ultimate Fighting Championship announced their landmark deal with Reebok, calling it a game changer. You know, I penned another piece earlier this week for that and thought to myself, well, hold on a second. What does this really mean? I mean, there's short-term, mid-term, and long-term when it comes to deals like this, and I understand many of the fans that have, you know, this venom that's coming out about it. I have no issues with the deal whatsoever, but what does it mean, in my opinion, for the fighters on the lower tiers that have existing sponsorships? What can they do moving forward? Will the Ultimate Fighting Championship lend their three letters, UFC and or their logo, you know, when guys are trying to make appearances, you know, UFC fighter XX appearing here? If you can't put that UFC name on there, then maybe they can't get paid as much, or they won't get that much promotional advertising. Small things like that, but the deal itself will take the Ultimate Fighting Championship to a whole new level over the next few years. But what do you make of the deal? What are the goods and bads, you think?
It's funny because it's no good for discussion, but I think what, you know, what you said is true, and people need to realize, but we don't know all the details yet. So I don't think anybody can rush the judgment and say, you know, this is 100% good or 100% bad. I think there are pros and cons all the way through this thing, and I think realizing that we don't know everything yet is a big part of it. You know, I think there's going to be some hiccups along the way, but I agree that the overriding feeling to me in this is that it's a positive thing. The big key that I see here, you know, there's been an argument over the years of the value of what a manager brings to the table. And what I think that I really see coming out of this is if you can find a really good manager and somebody that can figure out the way, what the secret recipe is going to be for getting sponsorship. Because let's remember, the UFC is not going to prevent anybody from getting other sponsorship. However, the difficult part is going to be, you know, the managers and the companies have to figure out how they're going to activate properly when they can't use logos on fight night. They can't use logos on a sponsor banner. They can't use logos at all during the week. So there's going to have to be a creative type of activation to make these partnerships work. But if you can find, you know, a manager that's capable of creating and executing those deals, the value of a manager is going to be incredible for these fighters, because this is not going to be an easy process. But overall, I think this is a positive. I think it's going to be a better look for the sport itself. You know, obviously, anytime you can get these blue chip companies involved in mixed martial arts, it's a positive for the sport itself, and obviously for the UFC as a company. I mean, it's something that we couldn't even imagine, you know, 5 years ago, definitely not 10 years ago. So to see, you know, a big company like this pouring in millions of dollars, I think is fantastic to see for the sport. It's going to come down to, you know, what are those numbers? We know there's a tiered system. What are those numbers? And I've asked, you know, I've been trying to ask around, and I know I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of people asking around right now. Nobody really knows him yet, you know, and I think they're going to come out. You know, the numbers are going to come out, and they're either going to come out in a good way because you've got a manager that's happy, or you've got somebody that's really upset and says, listen, Joe, I think the UFC needs to be exposed. You know, my guy's getting $50 as an unranked guy or whatever. So they're going to come out. I think seeing what those numbers are going to be is incredible. I mean, listen, for you know, and I've seen some people doubting it, but, you know, for Dana White and for Cedric Mountain, listen, we are not going to make a dime off of this deal. We're pouring it all back in as an investment in our fighters. If that's the case, and if that's true, this thing could be a pretty special program.
I don't know if I buy that, but it is Dana White, and he's going to say what he's going to say. And, you know, this is a business. And what I've been trying to expose on this radio show, through the TV show, through my articles, through Twitter, whatever social media handle I have, look, the UFC is not a sport. It's a business. Mixed martial arts is a sport. The UFC will do what's good for the UFC. And that's, if I'm in their position, if you're in their position, John, if any of the haters of the Ultimate Fighting Championship and Dana White are in that position as well, business comes first. And that's just the bottom line, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really is. I think one of the biggest things they got to clear up right away is just how the rankings are going to be done. I think that's the first hiccup. And like I said, you know, you're talking about short-term, mid-term, long-term. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a six-year partnership. I think if anybody thinks that, you know, all the details are ironed out and every hurdle has been thought of, you know, it hasn't. I think they're going to have to address that as it comes along. But I think that the biggest thing first is how they're doing these rankings, because, you know, I think the idea is good. The tiered system where the champion makes the most money, then, you know, 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15, and unranked are all tiered below. I think that's a good idea. I think it makes sense as a way to reward guys for performance. But, you know, having the media rank them, you know, USA Today policy prevented us from ranking anyway. And I always thought it was kind of a gray area. I mean, we're really not supposed to get involved as journalists in how somebody does business. But, you know, with rankings, I didn't necessarily see it. Now that the rankings will directly influence somebody's pocketbook, you know, I don't think it's a gray area anymore. I think it's an obvious, you know, a conflict of interest. And so I don't know how they're going to do this ranking properly, to be honest with you. Somehow they need to invest. Rather than invest in an independent body. And maybe it's up to us as journalists to come together and create something that's independent so that they have something to at least consider as an option. But, I don't think any of us can really vote directly in something that's going to affect somebody's pay.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting 2015 once they start ironing this all out. Now, I know you're a busy guy. You got to get back to what you're doing. Have fun covering the event. I know you're in your hometown, but it is just an unbelievable event, in my opinion. There's nothing better. It's not really a job, John. Let's be honest. This is not a job. I know you travel so much. You've taken covering the Ultimate Fighting Championship to a whole new level. You've surpassed and eclipsed my record as the amount of events that I've covered, but you do a fantastic job. I know it can be difficult at times traveling away from the family, but believe me, enjoy it, man. I miss it. I haven't been down to cover an event since Sacramento, so I'm missing it. I can't wait to get back in the picture.
Hey, brother, I look forward to getting up to Canada so we can see you. Hopefully you get back to Vegas. And you're right, this card is fantastic. When we can have an in-depth discussion, not even mention Tony Ferguson versus Abel Trujillo, Uriah Faber versus Francisco Rivera. I mean, we could just go on and on. I mean, the return of Todd Duffy, so much to look at. So, yeah, you're right, man. I miss the wife and kid when I'm on the road. I'm in and out flying 200,000 miles this year, which is insane. But man, there's nothing better than fight night. There's nothing better than that moment.
Thanks again for your time, my man.
Thanks for having me, brother.
There you have it, John Morgan. Make sure you follow him online at MMA Junkie John. Thanks to John. Thanks to Travis Brown. Don't forget, UFC 181 prelims will air on Sportsnet this Saturday starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's Sportsnet 360. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions. Thank you for listening in. You have been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.